see, item four. Wait, how many people are here for, item four, there was a person that wanted to speak or could potentially speak during that. So we'll take up item four, and then if the common council wants to allow a suspension of the rules to allow a person to speak, we'll do that.
Mr. Mayor, motion to approve as listed on the action sheet.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Is there a citizen that wanted to speak?
Yes.
I guess I would. I'd make a motion to suspend the rules to allow him to speak because I'd like to know what his concern is.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, I have it. Motion carries. Sir, could you please come up to the microphone? Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Walter Habowitz, and the property on 51st I own about 600-700 feet of it. I'm not sure. I did sell a lot. But my first wife, who died of cancer, petitioned to get sewer going through there. And we were told we would get 7 lots, and I sold 1 lot. I had 2 developed. I put sewer laterals in for 3, and I've been told I cannot develop the rest of them. The third one, which I paid for the lateral, I did not have the money to put the laterals in for all 7. Well, now it's proposed that the sidewalk goes through 51st. I'm not opposed to the sidewalk. In fact, when I bought this land, I believe I deeded 50 feet of it to the city. So it might not even affect me. The cost will be by the city, as I read here, for the sidewalk. But who's going to shovel it is what I want to know. This 500 feet of sidewalk on 51st Street.
Mr. Rollmeis, can you answer that?
Sure. According to our ordinances, it will be the responsibility of the abutting property owner to maintain the sidewalks.
So it would be yours.
Yeah, right. Well, then I'm against it.
Okay.
So just so you know. And then on the next item coming up, 6-5 was discussed already, I believe. They want to put a road. I've seen the master plan 30 years ago. Mr. Bennett set in his ways, and I've only heard one person out here speak against him. I respect him. I was a contractor builder myself, and there's you can't satisfy everybody. But if my name was Carstensen, I would have sold my land. I know that.
What road, just for the record, which road are you speaking
Marquette
about?
Avenue. And I seen it on the plan running from 27th Street all the way to 51st 30 years ago here at Common Council meetings. But anyways, I'm against that road too. Alderman Wilhelm has been trying to get it for the school road, and she offered me money for it. And I said, okay, who pays for the assessments? She said, well, we'll give you a fair market price, $4,000 for my 30 feet, whatever they need, 40 frontage now, because she wants sidewalks. Well, I have 700 feet there. I don't believe I would get lots because
Could you go back a little bit?
Yeah.
Where you said
going back to where I started on lots.
No, excuse me. Would you go back to the point where I offered you money for it?
No, you said the city would be willing to purchase your land for this road at the church meeting.
Otherwise, she's buying ice creams for everybody.
Right.
No. This is procedure, she said. But I said, who would pay for the improvements? So you would give me $6,000, was my word, if that's what it's worth. You said fair market value. But anyways, improvements, you said, would be $600,000.
No,
I said, do you think I'm a fool?
I have to stop you because these were all words from Mr. Bennett, and he said $800,000. Because I was totally shocked by that. And
It's more, yeah.
So you're right. And there's some confusion here on what was being said, because I know I wouldn't speak like that.
Well,
I know that I would not say on behalf of the city, so I just...
No, you weren't. You were speaking what could be done. You weren't speaking on behalf of the city.
Right, okay.
But
just
we had
so
meeting
council, because I don't want the council upset with me, because
don't jump on her. I do have respect for Alderman Wilhelm, too. Anyways, No, this was what she said could be done, because we had meetings at the church. They wanted to buy my land, but after that road, they insisted on a road, which they didn't have to put in, according to the Constitution.
So you're against?
I'm against sidewalks, because who's going to shovel that 700 sidewalk and now another 500?
Okay.
It butts my land, you know. But
well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me talk.
Is there a motion to return back to the regular order of business?
Is there
a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, obviously the people on that side aren't going to want this because of our city policy that we make people on main arterials shovel the walks. Now, when we put in Oakwood Road, we had a special ordinance that the people that had a certain amount of feet didn't have to shovel it. That was a special situation. Now, we have a gentleman here who doesn't live on that road. He lives over off of 49th Street. So he either is going to have to hire someone or he's going to have to drive around with a shovel and find a place to park along 51st Street, and we already know there's no shoulders, and get out and shovel, what did you say, 500 feet? 500 feet of walkway. So it would behoove the city to come up with a policy on main arterials if we're going to stop this argument about sidewalks and have the city take care of main arterials. And if they're going to pay, you can snicker about this. I have the floor. But if people like Mr. Havlicek are going to have to pay to have someone to shovel the walkway, he can pay the DPW department probably cheaper than to pay a private, and then everyone along there, you put it on their tax bill. If they don't want to pay it and they don't want to shovel it, then come up with a plan. But this whole thing about we can't connect our community and make it walkable and make it a decent city and a community, because the people arguing about who's going to shovel and then putting the burden on taxpayers and people that have these really long stretches that, you know, if it was my property, I can understand that. And the constituent said, put it on the other side. We wouldn't do that because we all knew the quarry was going to expand. So, you know, that was an issue where people went on their side, and then the quarry expands. We don't even ask them for a right-of-way. So we could have it on the other side. It just seems like there doesn't seem to be any common sense up here when it comes to linking sidewalks and things when, I don't know, I'm at a loss sometimes for what we do. I guess Omen Olson and I have had that same comment tonight. So
I was confused too earlier. So
okay. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but what we're doing is apparently not working.
And given that we're on item four, Mr. Liberta.
We are.
Yes.
There was a motion to approve, and it was motion
approved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 5. Oh, we did that. Can we recommend?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we don't want to go over that one again. Okay. Item 6, Franklin Trails Committee request for adoption of the Safe Routes to School Plan, Pleasant View Elementary School. Sure. Alderman Olson.
Well, as the maker of the motion that hatched this issue,
right.
I appreciate their work. They did a fine job. And I would move to accept the plan as submitted.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman Wilhelm.
I thought that the bike fed should have been included, as they did quite a bit of work to help us qualify for that section, and they weren't in the acknowledgments. And all the meetings
I in there?
All the meetings that I was at, the map that was slapped onto the back of this was not part of review process, so I was wondering if someone from the Trails Committee who was at that meeting could justify the parks map that got put in on the very last page of this, which shows the park trail going exactly where my constituents don't want the trail to be. So I'm just calling that to your attention. I know it's a plan. The trail's not set. There's no funding for the plan. But it was very clear at all the trails meetings that the constituents are already mowing a trail between the school and Victory Creek using the current bridge that's there. This trail plan that was put in here at the one meeting I didn't make after, I don't know how many, you know, long we were working on this, does not reflect what the constituents wanted or what they are currently doing. So at minimum, the bike fed.
Okay. Point of clarification, Alderman.
Mr. Mayor, my motion would allow the committee to update technical.
Is this
the omissions of all rules?
Is your motion is that adoption as part of the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan that goes back, or are you just adopting it? Adoption of the standalone.
To accept the report.
To accept the report.
That's correct.
Okay. Not to adopt it.
To accept.
Because there's two requests on here.
I second the adoption.
To accept, right?
I'm confused.
I accepted Alderman Olson's motion to accept.
It's fairly important.
Accept.
And that's you second that?
Exactly.
All right. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You almost got called Mr. Fowler, Alderman Fowler. Mr. Fowler, anything?
I'm confused. So is the motion, so is adopted or is it accepted?
The motion was to accept, and that's why I was asking if it was going, if they were recommending it, let's go back to the Plan Commission for inclusion in the 2025 plan.
Okay.
But that's not what they did. They moved to accept. Okay. Alderman Wilhelm?
So was that accepting with the corrections, the technical corrections, as Alderman Olson had stated? Okay, I just want to clarify that that was part of the motion, because that's what I heard him say. And
Alderman Olson.
Well, you know, since everybody's got such a pregnant pause and looking at each other like what just happened here, I'll make a motion to refer this to the Planning Commission for their consideration.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I greatly appreciate that you, because I think it's very important that this be included in the 2025 Comprehensive Master Plan for the city.
If I could just speak to that for one moment, I think it's important that it gets included in the adoption to the 2025 Master Plan, because what we're going to try to use this document for is to solicit additional funds.
Right.
And if we can show that it's adopted, that it's an overall plan, it is focusing on Pleasant View, but if we can show that it's adopted as part of the master plan, it will help us pursue additional funding.
I do have one question for you, and it's on Chapter 7, Transportation Map. It's Map 7.4, Bicycle, Pedestrian, and Circulation Facilities.
Give me one moment to find it.
What's your page number? It's in Appendix H, two pages over.
Page number, sir. What is it? I'm sorry?
It looks like this.
Oh, that one. Oh, we got the black and white copy. You got the color one.
You have the color one, too.
Yeah.
We didn't want you to make any changes.
I didn't even get a box of crayons with me.
You there yet?
I'm trying to get there.
It's page 184, if that's the one.
That's the last page.
Well, yeah, the last page.
Oh, that would have been great.
That helps. Okay. Thank you. All right, yes.
Yeah, you did.
Okay.
You all got one.
All right. Just off of Drexel Avenue. And let's see. What is that? 51st. Path
yes.
Cutting back through a subdivision.
Yes.
Looks like it's across the street from the high school.
Yes.
And it goes all the way over to the Oak Leaf Bike Trail.
Correct.
Is that the Cascade Trail?
Correct. I believe that is.
Okay. That's why I'm asking, because that was a very, very controversial issue.
If I could speak to that.
Yes.
We know that there are, in those plans and on those trails, there are still issues. The Putes Road issue is still out there. The Cascade Trail issue is still out. I believe Alderman Wilhelms makes a good point about the trail that cuts to the east of the high school. The trail committee was divided on that subject as well. So there are going to still be controversies on things to be removed or put in. But again, we want a connected community. We do need to listen to the residents. I think the residents at Pleasant View have made their views quite clear on the issue on that trail. I think Cascade Creek, they've made their views quite clear. But as we teach them or educate the public on the value of other modes of transportation other than cars, these trails might be more popular. As we've shown with the Oakwood Trail, I mean, there was a lot of opposition to any trails that I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. If they bring in the wrong elements, excuse me, they devalue property, or they're costly, or they require some effort on the part of the resident.
I would just like to make this, when you bring this to the Plan Commission, that maybe there'd be another path that would go down between the city nursery property in lieu of the Cascade Trail.
Thank you. Okay.
That would connect with the Oak Leaf Bike Trail. Because I believe the Cascade Trail was put off because of wetland issues, and I think it was very expensive, if I remember. It was the walkways, it was the bridges. And But there's definitely, I think we need something from the high school down to the Oak Leaf Bike Trail. Plymouth Wilhelm?
Well, Mayor, this map was not from the Trails Committee. This map was put in here on the last page. Like I said, it was never part of any Trails Committee meetings that I was at until I missed the last one, and then it popped up and showed on this back page in here. So this map was done by the Parks Committee. As R.A. Smith, we never had R.A. Smith as a consultant for our Trails Committee, so
okay.
Maybe it should be noted on here, if you're going to include this in here, this map was put together by the Trail or the Parks Committee and is something that's recommended because I can tell
can
you
I, can
how
I
much opposition
that?
Is
yeah.
going to be.
Can I address that?
Mr. Mickley? Electrifying personnel.
Lost it.
Today, by the way.
Wait, Alderman Wilhelm's correct. She had the floor. I didn't know that she. I thought you had relinquished it.
So what I was going to say is I'm fine if you want to include this map, but then you need to make some kind of disclaimer that these are suggested trails, not by the Trails Committee, but by the Park Committee, because that's where this came from. So it's clarification for everyone, because this is not what resulted from all the grant money and the meetings that we had. They're okay with an east-west trail here, as you know. You were both at these meetings. But they want it a little bit further away from their backyards, so it's not, people can't look in their patio doors. So just up, and then this trail, they're fine with that trail, but they actually would like another trail that goes by the bridges straight where they're mowing. So adding that and moving that, and it would be fine. But that's not our map to do that with. That's the Parks Commission's map.
Ready?
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Mr. Mickley, you're on.
Today is the anniversary of Jimi Hendrix's last public performance. Just so you know. It's true. Today. He played at the Isle of Farnham in Germany today. That's why all this feedback is.
Was he stoned?
He's selling records.
Just so you know, I have skin in the game here. You see where that green line crosses Drexel?
We're black and white.
Oh, I have color.
If you put it on
yeah.
the table, John, I have my color.
Right in front of you, Dave.
Where it says place down
here. Yeah.
I know this seems trivial for those in the audience, but this was major, major issues in the past, so I wanted to clarify.
Here's a black and white, too.
If you can get to Drexel and 51st Street, where that green line is crossing 51st Street, that's my backyard. There will not be a trail in my backyard.
No, why not?
Well... it isn't, it's not defensible space, blah, 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 down the line. But what this document is, and I wouldn't have put it in here if I wasn't sure that it wasn't some sort of suggestion for a bunch of trails. What it is what it's labeled. And what it's labeled is labeled the present plan. And what we need to do is maybe fix the label, because when we ask for grants, when we apply for grants, we need to let them know that we have a plan. Tentative, fluid,
still in discussion, but it's a plan. And Alderman Wilhelm is right. Maybe we can more appropriately label this. But it's not at all. We didn't talk about any of these trails. We didn't get into any of these minutiae, but we needed to illustrate that the city of Franklin has a plan in place at this point, and this is the plan we have.
Well, that gives me the opportunity of saying that you gentlemen and ladies did a fantastic job on this. I think the community owes you a debt of gratitude. And I'd actually ask for a round of applause for you, gentlemen. Right. Okay, on the second motion, is there all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Great job, guys. Great job.
Okay, item 7. Resolution release of water well pump house and reservoir easement, and water main drainage. Mr. Romeis.
Yes, as the council action indicates, there is a facility that we presently still control. We own it's a well pump house with an abandoned reservoir. It should be or it is being asked to be turned over to the Whitnell Slope subdivision. They're the development that it's within. It was constructed by the developer and then turned over to the city for use. And as indicated in this council action, that facility is obsolete. In fact, it's been abandoned. The wells have been abandoned. The DNR on their sheets have indicated that the wells have properly been abandoned and this facility no longer functions. Whitnell Slopes would, as I understand it, be willing to take this facility over as is, and it would be it's gone before the Water Commission as far as the utility of that facility. It's not needed any longer, and we're just suggesting that action be taken to turn this over to Whitnell Slopes.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky, and then Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt a resolution to release the water well pump house and reserve easement, a water main easement, and a water main and drainage and storm sewer easement upon the property within the Whitnell Slopes subdivision to the convey the remaining structure and infrastructure thereon to the owner in fee subject to such corrections as determined necessary by the city attorney to effective its purpose.
Second.
So
move second. Under discussion, Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon, Alderman Olson.
A question probably for Kent. They're going to, or the staff, are they going to tear this down and put parking places in it? Like, no.
I'll answer that question. No, they are not, because I would hate like hell to have an order written against the city for not taking care of it all these years. Right now, they are going to do it. They're going to take this out. They're going to get rid of the tanks. They're going to spruce up this building and maintain it nicely as it should. So there's no parking structure going there. The building will remain as it is. They're going to redo the roof and fix it up, and they're going to use it for their garden equipment at no expense to the city.
I understand. Okay. I thought this was the Cortez Circle.
No.
What am I missing here?
I don't know. That's why I took pictures of it, Tim.
Yeah, but Cortez Circle is on the map here where the building is on page 193.
Yeah. Well, it's on that loop, yes.
Yeah. And this is the same. These are all multifamily, right?
Yeah, all apartments.
Yeah.
Alderman and Solomon, you have the floor.
There was a parking problem there?
May I answer, Mayor?
Yeah, you're asking for a city position, right? The position of the city on these issues, right?
Well, I guess I'm asking because I know there was a parking problem and we gave them, how should I say it, a reprieve during the wintertime for parking. And this would provide parking spaces for these.
Well, the reason I'm asking, Alderman, is because the city engineering department is the department that would be managing this property, and so think it'd be only fair and right that the city engineering department answer the questions. Mr. Romeis?
Well, I have to, I'm not current on the parking, and I realize that there was an issue about on-street parking, you know, and the deficiencies in this. Whether, I guess if you're suggesting that this facility be taken down to allow for more parking, I'm not sure it nets out enough parking to warrant taking the facility down and its utility value to this development. I mean, it's another issue, but this is a straightforward issue, I think, the turning over of this land and this facility to the developer. Then take up parking and its potential, but I don't know that you would want to link those two items to this action.
Yeah. And they shouldn't come back and ask us for special reprieve from parking when there's a viable solution with this property.
Enough said. Alderman Olson, Alderman Skransky.
If I may, with Mr. Mayor from the city attorney, should we have a hold harmless here?
City attorney?
You do. Exhibit A. Indemnified defendant hold harmless.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I didn't do it lawyer style with 90 pages. I put what was required.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, the reason the motion is subject to corrections by the city attorney is because the base information I had, some of it was piecemeal. There's the last mentioned easement, drainage and storm sewer easement, or water main and storm sewer easement might not even exist. I got two legal descriptions with those titles on it. There's a bunch of blanks. Some of those blanks might not exist because I didn't get documents with all the recording information. So whatever it takes to make it work, that's what I would do.
Fine.
I was going to say, he finally addresses making it simple and then you question him. But,
all of his grounds. Good.
No, this building is not going to be a substitute for parking. We did grant them additional parking some years back. That is satisfied what they needed for their overlay. This structure is going to stand there and will remain there and be more of a credit to the subdivision in which it came from. So there's no harm there and there's no parking there.
Alderman Taylor.
Plus, it's not that large of a piece of property. You'd have to put a road in to get to it. All you have is a sidewalk now. You'd have to put a road into it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can maybe add a few cars. I don't think that would make any sense to do it that way.
There's
no parking. I don't think there's enough room for parking even if they wanted it.
No. All right. We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have. Motion carries. Item G8, resolution awarding contract to D.C. Burback. The amount of $11,981.70 for the installation of concrete sidewalk and easement from West Forest Hill Avenue to a Franklin High School drive. Mr. Romeis, I think at the last meeting, Alderman Olson may have asked City Attorney Bennett where the funds were coming from for this. I thought the answer was contingency funds.
I checked with Mr. Patterson, and there is a fund in the budget that states it is a capital improvement fund earmarked for smaller projects such as this. Presently, the balance in that is $25,000. That would cover fronting the $12,000 and then getting reimbursed from the school district. Funds are available through a limited, small-range capital improvement fund.
And how much money is in there normally?
Presently, there's $25,000. I don't know. I don't think it's been used this year.
Do you know what the account number is?
Sure. Get it for you. I could actually give you this. It's on the capital improvement.
My question is, was this included in the 2011 City of Franklin Common Council budget?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Who would, Alderman Olson?
I'm going to do this quick. So just to recap, a guy comes in the Public Works Department and says, I want you guys to help me out with this easement on a path in my yard. I'm going to put it down as gravel. You guys supply the gravel. Being helpful, we say, no, not good enough. You don't want stones in your grass. You won't be able to maintain it. You really ought to have a concrete, and we'll pay for it. So the way we really ought to approve this is a approve it contingent on the funds coming from the operating budget of the engineering department. That way, the guys that got us into it get us out of it.
Who else has their hand up? Alderman.
And by the way, Ron's a heck of a nice guy. He's just doing it to help. But this helped cut us. What's better?
Alderman Skransky, you had your hand up?
Just so I'm clear on this, too, this is private property, right?
No.
It is an easement.
City easement.
Okay. All right. I'll go on. I may have another question.
Oh, go ahead, Alderman. You have
No. I'll ask again.
Mr. Roman.
But understand that little stone path you're talking about, the material suggested to be used by Mr. Kuhl, who is knowledgeable in the field, is approximately $3,000 worth of materials, okay? Now, he offered up the equipment and the labor. I talked to Mr. Kuhl today. He couldn't make the meeting. It's one of his daughter's birthday thing. So we're assuming that he's still, you know, offering labor and equipment that people, the volunteers he was counting on, are still going to be available. Not sure, but nonetheless, I'm saying we got a $3,000 investment in stone. And that only gets you through his property. This gets you all the way to a connection to another paved surface, okay? The school district does not look real favorably on the stone concept because of maintenance. It is a real consideration.
Alderman Olson?
Well, I appreciate all that. The school district wasn't involved with the original request to the Board of Public Works. It was just to get them, just to control the kids walking through his yard so that they walk in one spot. That's all Matt wanted. He didn't care what happened to them once they got to the school district property. So all I'm saying is we're being nice folks and we're fixing a problem that's cost us more money because we're fixing the problem. It would have been easier. You have a budget for gravel and stone in the budget, right? Discretionary. This could have happened. I mean, Jerry could have sent a guy over there with a bobcat to do a little scraping, too, because he wouldn't need a right of entry because it's city property. You know, we could have helped him out real nice, but instead we got engineering on it. I talked to Mr. Kuhl today, and yes, his daughter's having a birthday party. Matt, you should be there. He and I are going to have a beer in 6 years when he petitions the county council to rip it out when his kids are gone. Just like what happened a couple of years ago when the original sidewalk was put in.
That's right.
I don't believe, Ron, that he's going to help on this at all, especially since we're going to contract with Burbach to do it. So, you know, there's some new sense
here. Mr. Romine?
Sure, several items. The price you have before you, the $11,981, does not include any work by Mr. Kuhl.
Okay, that's what I think.
Okay. The other thing is that the gravel stone was recommended after giving consideration, not recommended, gone to concrete for maintainability, permanency. You know, those are huge issues. You don't want to come back and have to go through this again, rip out the stone and put concrete in. So this has been thought out as a permanent and proper way to deal with this. Mr. Kuhl is promoted and leaves. You know, now the new neighbor comes in and they inherit a gravel, and they hate it, right, because the stone blows up into the lawn. Concrete will not, you know.
All this is the second sidewalk going.
Alderman Skransky, Alderman Schmidt, Alderman Wilhelm.
As we have a sidewalk that goes to nowhere, and now the other half of these people is the school board, are they accepting that from their property line going north? And they are part of this equation.
Alderman,
I'm asking it again.
I think the answer is included in the packet.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. All right. I just wanted
and that the school board
I'd like
is.
To keep it on the record.
Well, for the record, so that the school district is willing to share 40% of these costs, and that I believe this did go to the school board.
The analysis is this. Dr. Patz has given us a written endorsement. There is a difference between the school district and the school board. Dr. Patz had explained that they do have a discretionary fund for the school district to work on minor projects like this because they can't run every little thing in front of the school board. It's not like they're questioning whether or not they're going to take a book off the shelves in the library. And Dr. Pat said, should the city find the means to do its portion of the project, the school district will commit to the project according to the quote amounts. I spoke to Mr. Kuhl today also. I had calls from residents that live along Forest Hill. They were concerned that this project was going to fall through because they had heard it got tabled a month ago. Everybody in the neighborhood is in favor of this because they think it's not only a shortcut, it's a safety feature because it's right on the bend, and if the students have to continue walking all the way around the bend, and they're going out to 51st Street, and it's a longer path down a busy road. And I even asked Mr. Kuhl today, I said, did you notice that there were traffic last Friday when they had the football game? He says, yes, there were a lot of parents there. And he says, parents even park along there because the freshman and junior varsity teams practice on that adjacent field right across the pathway there. So there is a multiple use. It's a safety feature and as well as a convenience for everyone. I don't know. We're talking about, you know, city spending $7,000 on this. It seems like a rather small expenditure compared to some of the other things that we spend millions of dollars on.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, everybody on the council wants cooperation and getting along and doing things. And this alderman has not asked this council for much of anything. And he's asking you for support on something in his district. And he's continuing to get roadblocked on this issue. He's done his homework. He's prepared a very well-written letter. He's worked with the engineering. He's worked with the property owners. He's worked with the neighbors. He's talked to the schoolers. He's done everything he can do. And you can continue to throw roadblocks into something after you just got done approving Safe Routes to School packet, a whole plan that included input for residents who wanted this. Alderman Olson was the one who made the motion to create the Trails Committee to look at those options, and the people said that this is what they wanted. So we have taxpayers that we have impact fees that come in and build homes. The impact fees in about 2000 were about $5,000 per home. Okay? $5,000 per home you have to pay to buy your way into the Franklin, and you can't even get a walkway to your school. I mean, I would think that these people have paid for this walkway, and, you know, you get 100 homes together, or even like 25 homes together, you have $100,000. You've collected from just a few homes. This is something we can afford to do. We can do this project. It's not going to break the budget, and it's needed. It's going to be safe for the kids. It's a good kickoff. It shows to future grant makers that we're serious about, you know, making our community walkable. If you want to get any of these other projects, and including down Putes, these are things that we need to show some effort in our community to do, and this is a pretty small effort. And I think you should be supporting your colleague up here on this. I don't think he's asking that much.
Alderman Olson, and then Alderman Schmidt.
Well, for the record, you will hear an aye when this comes up for a vote. But what I'm trying to get people to understand is you budget for a purpose. And if every time somebody comes by with a project and we find a way to fund it, that means we're not budgeting properly. We got too many slush funds or whatever. Now, that's aside from the fact that our managers do a good job of managing the budget. But, you know, you budget for a purpose and you plan for a purpose. And in addition, you know, you get projects all the time. We don't need to help make them more expensive. And I'm sorry, this justification, it's a safety thing. That didn't work on Putes Road very well, did it? And there have been people hit on Putes Road. I don't think there's been many people hit on 47th Street as they've been bent. Now, I'm all for helping out Mr. Kuhl here. I've told you before, he's a friend of mine. I'm just trying to get people to understand this is taxpayer dollars. My taxpayers, as well as all the rest of yours. But we like to spend money here, so you know, I'm going to support this, but I'm going to hear gnashing of teeth when the budget comes from.
Alderman Schmidt, and then Alderman Taylor.
Well, the month ago when this was first brought up, the main contention was, I wound up pulling back my motion and tabling it because the question is, well, do we know if the school board is or school district is on board with sharing the cost? We went through a lot of work. We talked to the mayor, and I both sat down with Dr. Patz, and I did get a confirmation from him that the school district is prepared to share the cost on this. So it's going to cost the city the $7,000. It's going to cost the school district under $5,000. And we did the homework. We've got it on board. I don't know how long we can debate.
Question is called the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is it moved and seconded? All those in favor of calling the question, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries on the main motion. Madam Clerk, please take the roll. I'm sorry. Could you please read back the motion?
Actually, there was not a motion made.
You thought you made a
motion. No. Question. There's no call, question to call. Your Honor, I have my hand up.
We had the discussion before we got
the discussion was about the resolution, but no motion or second was ever made.
I'm up anyway. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor.
Because the call for the question came from someone that didn't have the floor, so it shouldn't have been, anyway. I agree that you have to budget. We've done that as a city. I mean, last time I checked, we're on pace once again this year. Last year's budget, we did a great job. I think this will be my fourth budget. The first one was the toughest one because we didn't realize that the interest was going to be was projected at $700,000. Will we get $200,000 maybe? And wasn't that our hole? And we've corrected that. So I think as a finance committee, as the mayor's budget, and Alderman Olson, I have no shock that there'll be a no vote coming from you on this year's budget. I mean, I'll put money on that because that's always been the case. So we have done a good job budgeting, and you know, if this was $70,000, it'd be a whole nother story. Okay, it is. You know, how much of a safety issue this is, I don't know. I don't walk that area. I don't. I mean, when I go to a football game, I park in the parking lot and I walk right there. You don't see me parking on the street. I don't have any kids, but you have a homeowner that wants something. Engineering has said that you have $3,000 will get you to the backyard. I don't know what gravel would cost then to go across school property. So let's just say it's another $2,000-$3,000. Maybe we're up to $6,000. So for another $1,000, the city's going to get a concrete sidewalk, and it's going to be something that's going to last. And who is going to maintain that? Is it the city, the homeowner?
Because it's an easement, the city would ultimately be responsible, but the understanding is the homeowner will and the school district will.
Okay.
So, I mean, during a winter ongoing.
Right. So the city's not going to have to maintain it. And I don't know, I can just picture it, gravel in someone's backyard. That, you know, it may be what he asked for, but I know I wouldn't want to have to deal with that. Stones and that. I mean, I just know what it's like in spring when the snow melts and my yard's full of little pebbles from the road, when the plow truck dumps the big piles of snow in the end of my driveway. I don't stand at the end of my driveway telling plow trucks you can't put it in my front yard like some elected officials I know. But, you know, we need to. But I think it's a good idea. It's not very expensive. We do budget, and like I said, I'll put cash down on his vote.
Alderman Schmidt. There is no motion on the floor.
I would like to make the motion.
Very good.
Adopt a resolution awarding a contract to D.C. Burbach, Inc. in the amount of $11,981.70 for the installation of a concrete sidewalk and easement from West Forest Hill Avenue to Franklin High School Drive.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion. Is this motion contingent upon the school district coming up with their 40%?
No.
Yeah, they said it would.
Well, yeah, we have that.
Well, it's not in your motion. That's
no.
What
added into the school district.
All right, then I'll amend the motion. So, contingent upon the Franklin School District number 5 committing to paying 40% of the project.
Alderman Solomon, you're okay with that?
Second, yes.
Just under discussion, it's that I did meet with Alderman Schmidt and Dr. Patz. Asked him quite a few questions regarding the neighborhood and people's involvement. I think he answered many of those questions in his reply back, that the neighbors actually want this, they're not opposed to it. Talked about on-street parking, talked about the football games, all that, where the school board was on the issue. So we asked quite a few questions there. Mr. City Attorney.
Just in case the question comes up, Mr. Romai said that because of the sidewalk is an easement, that ultimately it's the city's responsibility. I didn't know of any distinction between public easement or public fee interest. I didn't see anything in the snow removal ordinance. It's a public sidewalk. So unless there's something in the easement itself that says the city's responsible for it, in case the issue comes up about shoveling in 2 years, I think it's the abutting owner's responsibility.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Yeah, I was going to say it isn't a budding homeowner issue, but, you know, if we have all these concerns, make the guy sign a 10-year letter of agreement or something. Let's just get on with this. I'd like to call the question.
Look, there's a question. Call the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. On the motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay, moving right along. Alderman Olson.
Motion to establish October 30th, 2011 as our Halloween, with the hours 4 until 7.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to item 10, recommendation from the Personnel Committee relative to employee pension and health insurance contributions for 2012 potential for health plan design changes and related studies to be performed during 2012 for information only. And Liberta, before I turn it over to you, this is item G10, right?
Yes, item G10 is simply to inform you that the Personnel Committee has forwarded a recommendation relative to pension and health insurance contributions that address similar actions as were happening with employees in WRS in the state system, but it's largely a fiscal issue that will impact next year's budget. So this will be forwarded to yourself for preparation of your budget, to the Finance Committee as they consider your budget, and for the Common Council's consideration at the time that they look at the 2012 budget. No actions requested at this time, but since it was their action and going to impact things between now and when you address the Finance Committee's recommended budget, I thought you should at least have a copy and be aware that this was an action of the Personnel Committee. No action is required at this time.
I think it's very important. We have a number of concerned employees, both in the audience and in City Hall and over at DPW, asking many, many questions. And while we deal with these things routinely, they do not, and they may misinterpret what has been said or what has been done there. What this is saying is that the Personnel Committee, after deliberations on two occasions, I believe,
correct,
and long debate, four hours of debate, is recommending a certain strategy for employee health care costs and pension costs and contributions, that they're urging the mayor to recommend that he place that in his budget, and a certain strategy that the Finance Committee for the city also adopt their strategy.
Correct, and it's a tiered strategy. So an initial target that if it can be achieved and the budget can be found acceptable within that first target, and if not, you know, it gives a next step that can be addressed. And I can note that in addition to the Personnel Committee, this recommendation that's in your packet that was the motion, I also had an employee meeting where I answered questions, and we had a very good turnout. And we spent 4 hours going through it in detail. So hopefully the employees have a good understanding of what's incorporated.
Okay, so just for clarity, for police and fire, there's no change at all. They have the contracts. Their collective bargaining agreements are in place.
Yeah, and relative to item G10, correct.
And which is the part that affects most employees the most. It's the contributions for health care and for pension.
Yes. Okay.
For police and fire, because of state law, the collective bargaining agreements are unchanged for police and fire, and their contracts will run until their duration, and then normal set of negotiations will start up as they always have, right?
Correct, and that's over 50% of our full-time
employees. For employees who are clerical employees, think in the Teamsters Union, for employees that are in building inspection, for employees that are in DPW, all covered, well, I should say, some are covered by AFSCME, some are covered by Teamsters, those contracts, for the most part, will continue until December 31st, 2011.
No, dispatch has already expired.
I didn't mention dispatch.
Inspection and DPW expire December 31st of this year, and Teamsters expires December 31st of 2012.
Okay, so for Teamsters, for the clerical employees, all of their benefits, all of their provisions, every single provision that's in their collective bargaining agreement, by law, will continue out to 2012, December 31st.
Correct. Yeah, okay. The contributions recommended here, if adopted, would not apply to Teamsters until after.
So overtime, shift preference, vacation selection, everything that's in their contract will continue without being disrupted until December 31st, 2012.
Correct.
Okay. For building inspectors, December 31st, 2011.
Correct.
And for DPW workers, December 31st, 2011.
Correct.
Okay. And there can be no changes in any of their contracts until such time as their contracts expire.
Correct, unless mutually agreed to.
Okay, because I think there's quite a few employees that think that tomorrow morning this is going to go into effect, and it's not. And by law, it cannot. I guess the other thing that is important to understand that while this news made world news, things that happened in Madison, Wisconsin. All the things that are before us in this Common Council have been driven by discussions and debate at the state capitol. I'm not aware that any of the elected representatives in the city of Franklin advocated for these types of changes. These changes were dictated and mandated by the state government. And that's, I think, is very important to understand. No one really asked us for our opinions on this until, of course, everything was over with. And now you, like every personnel manager throughout Wisconsin public sector, is trying to wrestle with how do we comply with Act 10 and Act 32, which the state legislature passed.
Right? Well, one point of clarification. Relative to pension and health insurance, the state has only mandated specific actions for those who participate in WRS, in the retirement system, or the state health plan. So the city of Franklin is not mandated to make these sorts of changes. However, the state did impose upon us the same restrictions to revenue and cuts in shared revenue that they've imposed on all those people in WRS. So although technically we're not mandated to address these, they left us very, very few options but to consider how to parallel the expenditure side of their direction.
Yeah, I think what they said is, well, we've given all the municipalities the tools.
The tools.
Right.
These are the tools to which they refer.
Right. But some communities, their collective bargaining agreements, maybe all of their collective bargaining agreements expired, and so they will be able to use all of these tools, whereas the city of Franklin is, for the most part, going to have to eat the cuts in shared revenue and municipal aids, transportation aids.
that the budget process will ultimately determine the distribution of how we respond to those cuts.
Okay, and then we also have, as I understand it, for those collective bargaining agreements that will expire, that are not police or fire, state law actually dictates that we are prohibited from negotiating on certain provisions that used to be in the collective bargaining agreements.
Correct, except police and fire.
Yeah, I mean like shift, overtime, vacation selection, those types of items. Well, to simplify it, the state has dictated that we can only bargain on wages, that we have to put in place a grievance procedure, and that we have to have a civil service system in place if we don't already have one.
Yes, but those last two on your list are not things that are bargainable. The only thing that was bargainable was the first.
Only the wages.
Only wages. And it's only the across-the-board settlement for wages of a represented group.
Okay. You were at the ICC meeting when I asked Nancy Perkey, who attended and met with all the mayors and village presidents. She gave a presentation. At the end of the presentation, I said to Nancy, who was sitting right next to me, I said, Nancy, are you saying that pursuant to this law, that all of the other provisions of the collective bargaining agreements evaporate? And she said, correct, Tom. And I'm not sure that that's been totally explained out there in the workplace. And that was by state statutes or by state law, change to state law.
Yeah, evaporate is really the best word for it. All the structure that goes along with that evaporates as well. And so that's why we're...
Right. That also means all former grievance settlements, all arbitration cases, all collateral agreements, all of those things are gone.
Correct.
Part of the collective. I'm not sure that the employees understand that in all the municipalities. But that was a mandate that was passed down to the municipalities, and now we are trying to administer this system. And then, of course, the cuts in shared revenue and state aids were also cut. Okay. I don't know what's been explained to the employees and what has not. Maybe that's... We should just go over to Furches and explain it. Alderman Taylor?
I guess we're on item 10, is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to put my 2 cents in. I mean, when the governor got in office, he had a $3.6 billion problem. And anybody doesn't realize that to solve his problem, he had to pass it on to the local municipalities. And so we've had to take a hit on different funds. And to do that, to make up that money, he's given us the tools to work with the employees or dictate to the employees how it's going to be. I don't think any one of us want to be in this position where we have to sit down and negotiate pay cuts and pension, you know, more, having them contribute more. None of us wanted to come here and have to do this, but the reality is we have to, because at the end of the day, we have to balance this budget. We have 35,000 people that we represent, some of which are employees. And, you know, I think we've been fair. I think the employees have been fair to us. We've talked about time and time again the last contracts that we did. I think they understood the world around them. They understood that there were foreclosures, homes popping up for sale, people getting laid off, people taking pay cuts, people just flat out losing their job or getting no increases. And because of that, they negotiated very fair, and we had good contracts. Compared to other municipalities where that didn't happen, there was massive layoffs. I remember someone said the number of DPW cuts in Greenfield was a decent amount, if I'm correct. I thought that was the city next to us that had they lost a number of employees in that department. Or we've maintained. So I just, you know, what we have to do, you know, was pretty much dictated to us. But at the end of the day, we do represent 35,000 people combined.
And I have no doubt that we'll be fair throughout this process. But it's not something that I think any of us want to have to go through, because I know I care about our employees, and I know all you do also. And they do an outstanding job. And, you know, do they deserve this? I would say the answer is no. But there was a mess in Madison, and now we're here, and we're having to help clean it up.
Alderman Wilhelm?
So there's no action being requested on G10. This is just for our information.
Correct.
And so I guess G11 is what you're looking for action and comment on. But where we're at right now, is there anything that you want us to
when
do?
When the chair moves off item 10 to 11,
right,
then
but
we'll
I'm just
be ready.
Saying, is there anything you want us to do? I just had a question, because the letter that's in here on page 209,
Jeff, are you on item G10?
I am
yes.
on 10.
Okay.
And on 209, it's your letter, which that letter actually has a sentence about just cause that actually relates to G11. So your letter is just for information. There's no action. There's nothing to really
yeah.
want us
the,
to do.
The letter was just to show you that what was on page 208,
mm-hmm.
which is what you're looking at under G10, that was the back side of the memo. So I wanted you to have the context in which it was shared with employees, because I think it's important that you understand that we've tried to communicate this to the employees. So, you know, we didn't just have a meeting and not give them background. I shared what I could up front to try and make sure everyone who felt it was important to get more detail came to the meeting. By a chair count, we had nearly 80, if not a little over 80 people there, 75, 80 people. And there's only about 96 non-police and fire people that it would, you know, probably apply to. So we had a tremendous turnout. So hopefully they had a good understanding. So
right.
providing that was just your background.
So, Ms. Liberta, the question that I have is, I want to make sure that I make my statements on the appropriate agenda item, and one of them is the reasonable, appropriate, and just cause situation, which is mentioned in your letter, but is actually item G11, so I will wait for
correct.
My comments on G11, and that's just what I want a clarification of.
I'm just going to say one other thing, and it's as you know, it's in the union, it's in management positions, labor negotiator, did a stint as personnel director myself. I think what's also important to understand under these laws is when the state legislature and the governor said that we the municipalities now have the tools. For non-represented employees, management has always had the ability of setting the appropriate level of pay, the appropriate level of fringe benefits and working conditions without regards to any negotiations whatsoever. That is something that is probably going to be very, very new for people who have come into a collective bargaining situation, have always been in a collective bargaining situation. But I raise that because I think that prior to me getting here, prior to this council being here, as far as I know, going back to Jim Payne and probably before that, the non-represented employees, I believe, would say that they have been fairly treated, that their compensation levels are adequate for the most part. And I think any manager, any department head would say that you get what you pay for, and that applies to employees. And if you want to have good morale, if you want to have a stable workforce, you have to treat your employees with respect. You have to provide decent wages and fringe benefits, or you will lose them. Northwestern Mutual, as powerful a company as that is, everybody wants to work there because the employer recognized that many, many years ago. Now, we have 1,850-some municipalities in the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be the thing that's the unknown is we don't know how all of those municipalities are going to handle this situation. I'm going to say this as diplomatically as I can. The employer, which is the Common Council, has the ability, once the contracts expire, to set the wages as they feel appropriate. And so I think that's, and fringe benefits, but good employers will try and do so to retain good employees and to recruit good employees. I don't know how many other municipal employees across the state of Wisconsin are going to think the same way I'm thinking. And so hopefully we don't get into a bidding war here where people try and go as low as they possibly can. And just for the sake of the employees that are here, I've already given that speech to all the mayors, village presidents, and administrators for Milwaukee County. But we really don't know where this is going to lead us. So I hope that all of us are going to try and be in this together, and I hope we don't get into a bidding war like we used to have with dispatchers and things like that. Alderman Solomon?
I'd just like to point out to the council that on page 208 of your packet, under pension B and C are in the near future, B, C, and D under health insurance are in the future also. So as we move forward, we want to treat everybody the same, and so those will be looked at as we move forward.
Okay, so we've got that. Everybody understands it. Let's move on to item G11. Alderman Wilhelm.
Mayor, I'm not comfortable voting on this because I haven't probably absorbed all of it. And since you had the discussion earlier, the citizen comment that we don't need to act, could we table this to the next meeting?
Second.
Been moved and seconded under discussion. Mr. Liberto?
We did try and get it to you tonight so that you would have two meetings to be able to deal with it. But recognize that there are provisions in here that in order to be compliant with Act 10 need to be in adopted and in place by October 1st. So that's why we tried to get it to you today, so you would have at least two meetings. We were targeting Committee of the Whole, which, of course, was doubled up today, so they just put it all on one agenda. So there are provisions that do need to be adopted by October 1st, but you still have at least one more meeting to be able to address it.
Is that just for dispatchers?
No, it covers non-rep, non-supervisory positions as well, and some library positions. And if I can clarify one thing, if you look at the last section, which is, I think, 15, it says that if any provisions in here conflict with what's in the labor agreement prevails. So that doesn't mean that that it's not enforced. It applies to everybody, but there's whole sections that are don't take effect because of the labor agreement. But for example, vacancies and how we fill those vacancies, that part's always been in place. That part continues to be in place because the labor contracts, you know, don't tell us how to go through the civil service hiring process and stuff like that. They tell us the internal promotions. You know, we often address that in the labor contract. So this applies to everybody, but whole sections of it are overridden by labor contracts that remain in place. So to say it doesn't take effect is sort of technically a little wrong because it still applies to everybody.
Well, I welcome Alderman Wilhelm's motion because, as you know, just before we got here tonight, you and I talked on the phone, and I was sort of looking for postpone this until we could clarify some questions that I have. And some is about the library, some is about the term supervisors, and there's many other provisions in here. But I guess I would ask that the maker of the motion, if you could have a time certain to table this to like the next Committee of the Whole meeting and set a date for a Committee of the Whole meeting.
You've got to do it by the next meeting.
Well, it's portions of it, October 1st.
Yes.
I mean, on Monday, I'm going to be meeting with all the mayors and village presidents and asking them where they stand on all of this.
I could break my motion up and have the portions come back that need to come back, and then the other portions, if that's going to give you more time on the second part of it.
Well, you got a motion to the table, but it was to a date uncertain, right?
It's
the next meeting. Okay. Yeah. Alderman Schmidt?
One quick item, because I don't want to digress on this too much tonight, but you know, when you talked about existing labor contracts, as far as does that apply, like the statements like such as just cause or with the employee complaints, that would take priority over any changes that would affect the rest of the employees with the existing labor agreements? Would those types of things be in that?
The sections of the labor contracts that already deal with grievances, which incorporates both disciplinary and the complaint section, those labor contracts are already going to prevail over the rules in the civil service. So those contracts still continue. Now, one, if you're looking for a time to address it, and the mayor suggested an alternative committee of the whole, there is a personnel committee meeting on the 19th of this month.
Maybe
you could do a joint meeting then. I know they've addressed it a couple times, but as you saw from the memo, there were a few added things that I incorporated to their motion that I don't think were out of context with what they approved, but were improvements. So you could have a joint meeting on the 19th, and then personnel can give you their perspective on the things they incorporated as well.
Alderman Olson?
We're using the word joint meeting. Let's not use the word joint meeting. If you want to come to the meeting and talk, come to the meeting and talk. But if the quorum isn't present from either party, you're toast. So just show up. Bad kid, but don't.
Okay, we'll take that under consideration. I was going to ask the city attorney.
Actually, staff avoids the common use of joint meeting, and if that were to be the case where they both meet together, the language on the would say that they're separate, and the other each needs a quorum. One doesn't have a quorum, the other one still needs.
I just have real very quick. I just wanted to point out that the civil service rules that we have in place, I believe, have been in place since 1990.
Correct.
So 21 years, the civil service rules have pretty well served us. But these changes to state law are making, well, if you're a responsible human resources professional, you should try and incorporate those changes and try and make it streamlined and manageable. Otherwise, you'll have 500 different systems in place. Nobody's going to know who's on first. And I think that's what you've done. By the way, Mr. Liberti, you've done an absolutely excellent job in this whole thing. And I got great feedback from the people that attended the employee meetings. Maybe they weren't happy to hear this. I'm sure they weren't. But, they told me that they really appreciated the way that you handle the meetings and answer their questions, and then I think they said, "Can you get rid of that guy?" No, I didn't. I just want to add one thing, and that's this word about supervisors. I want to make a point on that. It says supervisors have been identified as unclassified service as required by statute. All other employees are classified service, and then you get into non-certified. That word supervisor, I think that has to be really clearly defined, and I'm not sure that the personnel committee and the chair, whether you identified each and every person that would be under the classification of supervisor, department head, manager, all of that.
We anticipate that a list would be prepared that identifies them. We did note specific language that ensured it was clear that it did not include lead worker.
Okay.
But it's not specifically defined within the civil service statute of state of the state code. But if you can look to Chapter 11170 and then the state civil service code where it is defined to get guidance on the interpretation. But there is no specific definition within 660905.
Okay. Well, that's whether you're in the classified service or unclassified service, that's a pretty important thing, especially to the employee. And then the issue on the library, I'm hoping that we can have Barbara Rourke and maybe Alderman Schmidt involved here, because and you and I discussed some things about the library, but over the years, there's been debate as to whether the library is a separate entity unto itself. In other words, my understanding is we pass a budget, we give the library the budget, and after that, what they do with that and how it's maintained is pretty much their business, and we should not interfere under state law. And you and I have talked just briefly about the employees and whether they should or shouldn't be under the, you know, this system or under the purview of the council or not. So I'd like to get Barbara's opinion back on that. I think it's a pretty big issue. I'm looking over at Alderman Solomon because you and I have been involved in all those different discussions over the years. So with that, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Alderman Solomon.
I'd just like to point out during the citizen comment period, there was a comment that we didn't have representation for the employees. Under Section 12.1, under the grievance process, it does state that the employee may be represented by one individual at the employee's sole cost during the employee's opportunity to be heard. So we did take the suggestion that was presented to the personnel group, and we did add that, and Mr. Liberta has included that into the process.
The citizen comment on that issue wasn't relative to the disciplinary, it was relative to Article 13, which is the section on employee complaints. So it's using the word grievance, it's grievances that aren't of a disciplinary nature. That's what the complaint process is. So if someone argues that they weren't paid an overtime properly, or they were denied a vacation day following the departmental established procedures, complaints of that nature, where it's non-disciplinary. In the disciplinary process, these rules do allow them because of the significance of the disciplinary process. Because of the sort of managerial aspect of the complaint process, is are we running things right? We did not incorporate it there.
Alderman Taylor?
Mark, John English got up and spoke, and he had some concerns about a few different items. Can you, in less than a week, prepare something to why what he's asking for should or should not be included? Because, I can read this, and then you have someone up there that represents, some of our employees. I'd just be curious. I just would like something in writing that you can say, okay, here's his one statement. This is why we did it or why we're not going to do it. Just give us a little pros and cons so we can weigh that ourselves, just on the handful of items I think he brought up at the meeting during citizens' comment period, if you could.
Yeah.
For the record, Alderman Wilhelm stepped away for a moment. Okay. I know I'm belaboring this, but is it 80? Yes, I am. 80% of our budget, approximately, is personnel. Our most valuable resource in this city are employees. I don't think anybody would argue that at all. I just happen to think we got great employees, and I think you do too. So we're going to try and do whatever we can. But I would also ask the employees and their representatives to try and work with the council and work with the mayor, staff. We're trying to work through this as well, this this came down from above. So, all right. So this motion on the table to table to the next meeting. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We haven't talked about anything change.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see what the next item was.
G12.
I request that the item be laid over. As of very late this afternoon, the applicant requested to have her name withdrawn from further consideration.
Let the record reflect that Alderman Wilhelm came back in about 30 seconds from down the hall. She's back. Say that again?
I said I request that the item be laid over because as of very late this afternoon, the applicant requested to have her name withdrawn from further consideration.
Okay. You want to get into, you want to go to closed session and talk about why?
Sure.
Ms. City Attorney.
The noticed description of the basis for the closed session.
You would probably not
on the agenda
provide for it.
Is to consider the confirmation of appointment of this individual by name. So the individual is no longer a candidate for employment. There's no basis notice to go into the closed session.
Yeah. In the end, workload and economics, when compared to wages offered and adjusted by our current employer, made it so it wasn't in her best interest.
And you did have other applicants that you had an interviewing process?
As noted, we interviewed 5 out of 30 applicants. So we'll, I'll meet with you to find out where you are in continuing your process.
All right. Any other questions, comments? Not. Let's turn to the next item. G13 city purchase property for sale near Woodview neighborhood in the vicinity of planned public park site PN3 and the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan for public park purposes. Alderman Solomon?
Move to go into closed session.
All right. Is there any objection? If not, is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to Wisconsin statutes 19.85 sub 1 sub e to consider an offer to sell property parcel 885-9996-000 9.7 acres to the city for public park purposes and to re-enter open session at the same place thereafter to act on such matters discussed therein as it deems appropriate. Is there a motion to that?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
They moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
6 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Only those parties that have business regarding this item should remain and would ask that everyone take with them their personal items. Okay, we have returned back to open session. No action is required on the previous item. Now turn to item 14, acquisition of easement rights and interests. I'm sorry. Interest in property for location, extension, installation, maintenance of public sanitary sewer facilities provided for sanitary sewer service to the southwest area of the city of Franklin by way of the Ryan Creek Interceptor. Sewer installation upon property in the area from the intersection of South 60th Street and West Ryan Road, generally following the Ryan Creek, to the intersection of West Ryan Road and South 112th Street, thence westerly along West Ryan Road to the west city limits upon the following two paren two properties identified by acquisition map, parcel number, tax key number, and address respectively as follows: 1 paren 15 comma 9 36-9996-000 and 10023 South 92nd Street and 2 paren 23, 893-9997-002 and West Ryan Road. The council may enter closed session. Let me ask, is there a desire to move to closed session, or is there a motion to authorize the offering price for easement acquisitions for acquisition map parcels 15 and 23 for the Ryan Creek Interceptor Sewer Project as recommended by the appraisal firm of Single Source, Inc. and the city engineer?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Alderman Olson.
Well, I'm not sure what the appraisal amount, we mentioned price in here, but the documents are for a jurisdictional offer.
Right.
So is the motion to authorize the offering price an appropriate wording?
City attorney?
I understand that council's looked at this, reviewed it. I haven't looked at the standard or the language approved for that. The offering price would be the price included in the jurisdictional offer. And common council would have seen appraised cost of the jurisdictional offer based upon correspondence would be equal to that.
I got it. We're good.
Okay. Thank you. And further discussion, seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Oh, I forgot that was coming.
Yeah.
I was going to call under the table.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye. Consistent.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
There you go.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I said no.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Stranz.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Now turn to miscellaneous licenses. Alderman Solomon.
Jubeck, approve of the letter. Racine, approve of the letter. Hessenstein, approve of the letter of the presentation of a valid driver's license. Schwartz, approve. Fisher, approve. Torabala, approve. Tuska, approve. Polish Center of Wisconsin, approve. And Walgreens, new location, approve.
Sure, second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you a list of vouchers numbers 139695 through 139710 and 139743 through 139939 in the amount of $1,122,273.36. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Yep.
Alderman Solomon. Alderman Wilhelm.
Okay.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next one. Is there approval? Is also a request for a list of vouchers numbers 139711 through 139742 in the amount of $149,689. Is there a motion to approve?
Why not?
Is there a second?
Second.
They're moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skrantz.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Yep.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to approve the payroll of August 26, 2011 in the amount of $349,748.64?
So moved.
Or second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, you please take the roll.
Alderman Olson. Aye. Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yep.
Is there a second? Been moved and seconded. Under discussion, only that Mayor Taylor will be out of town the 9th, Friday, to Sunday, turn on Monday, and then we'll be out of town Tuesday through that Sunday. So acting Mayor Taylor will be in charge. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
What are those dates, Tom?
Just got it today.
Oh, you guys are done? All right. Just